to Between the Worlds. I'm your host, Amanda Yates Garcia. This season, we focus on the suit of pentacles, all about abundance, the earth, eroticism, and the underworld. Stay tuned and learn how to re-enchant your world with tarot, magic, and more. Today, we're talking about the Eight of Pentacles, all about mastering your craft and making those coins. So stay tuned to find out more and to meet our delightful guest, Alejandra Luisa León, creator of the Lioness Oracle. Listeners, guess what? It's almost time for another Between the Worlds workshop, and this time it's on the delicious Pentacles season theme of abundance. We live on an abundant planet. We live in an abundant universe, but remembering that can be a challenge in a culture that's modeled on scarcity. Even if we're managing to make ends meet financially, if we're tired, stressed, creatively depleted, or if we're uncertain about the future or where our resources are coming from, we just don't feel abundant, no matter how much we might tell ourselves to feel grateful. But true abundance includes rest, it includes love, it includes nourishment, inspiration, security, pleasure. In the natural world, abundance comes through the flow of energy through the biosphere into our bodies and back into the world again. Abundance is flow. While taking this workshop will not instantly place $1 million in your bank account, it will lay the groundwork for a new and nourishing relationship to abundance in your life. In this workshop, we'll be establishing a new relationship to abundance, inspired by the natural systems of the earth and the wisdom tradition of the tarot. We hope you can join us. This Ace of Pentacles live call workshop happens on October 3rd at 11 a.m. PST, but if you can't be there for the live call, you'll get a download later on. And remember, subscribers to our coven at the Jupiter level get this workshop and all future workshops with the cost of membership. So join us. Links in the show notes.
Hello, listeners. Producer Carolyn here with a quick shout out. In this episode, Amanda mentions our brilliant friend, arts consultant, and author of Make Your Art No Matter What, Beth Pickens. Beth is a Capricorn and leads a group called Homework Club that gives artists and writers strategies to build their projects and practice with monthly webinars, worksheets, live Q&As, optional accountability pods, and actual homework that we're never graded on, ever. Beth's message is, you're an artist, you've got to make your work, not as punishment, but as a way to take care of yourself. And I feel that this is extremely Eight of Pentacles. We are putting links to all things Beth in the show notes. Please enjoy.
Here we are, about to dive in to the Eight of Pentacles. Let's talk about how it looks first. Rider-Waite-Coleman-Smith version of the deck. We've got a craftsperson sitting on a workbench, and they're wearing red tights and a blue tunic and an apron, kind of like the kind you would wear at an art studio. And they're holding a hammer and chisel as they carve a pentacle into a gold disc. Looks like they're at their workshop or their studio. They seem completely focused on what they're doing, smiling a little. We can imagine them humming a little tune. And there's a pentacle on the floor beside them. And six fully formed, beautiful, shining pentacles hanging next to them on the wall as if they just completed them. And they're now up for sale or show. So let's look at the symbolism of this card. The number eight represents balance and perfection. It speaks to infinity. It's shaped like an infinity sign. And that same infinity sign appears in the strength card above the head of the Lady of the Beasts. In that card, the angel who's stroking the head of the lion. and also over the head of the magician, who is a manifester and a transformer. So all the eight cards in all four suits, pentacles, cups, swords, wands, all the eights are ruled by the strength card in the major arcana. And the major arcana are the archetypal cards that make a tarot deck rather than a deck of playing cards. So eight is a power number. It's two fours added together. And of course, fours are about stability. They're about creating stable square structures that we can pile on top of one another. An eight represents a stable pair. And remember that eights come after sevens, of course. And the seven in the major arcana corresponds to the chariot, which is about initiation. Sevens are about initiation. You pass through something, some kind of an ordeal, and you gain powers and responsibilities. So the eights are about stepping into that power and that responsibility. And if we're looking at more symbolism, for instance, like the craftsperson, what does that symbolize? You know, what comes up for me when I think about this is this aphorism, pain is the craft entering the apprentice. Have you ever heard that phrase? I always think of it with this card. And I don't mean pain like dirty pain, the kind that we wallow in, you know, that brings us to our knees. I mean, there's also a place for that kind of pain. And, you know, most of us have experienced it at some point in our lives, or we will. But that's not what I'm talking about here. Like where you're sobbing because they left you and, you know, your mascara smeared all over your face and whatever, your wine spilled on the floor. That's not what we're talking about here. I mean, the kind of pain you get, like when you're practicing ballet, when your muscles are sore and you don't think you can jump one more time, but you do it. Or when you learn to play the guitar and your fingers hurt so much, they almost feel like they'll bleed, but eventually you get calluses and then you can play as much as you want. You have to build up that stamina. Or like when you're writing and you have to write seriously so much crap and throw out just so much of it and, you know, pull your hair out and like shake your fist at the sky before you get anything good or before you become a good writer. And that's all, you know, it's all painful, but it's a clean pain. It's the kind of pain that is entering us in order to lead us to mastery. So in this card, the Eight of Pentacles, you've been through that pain already because that pain is the initiation process that happened in the seven. And now you've got those calluses on your guitar playing fingers. And now you can dance on point. And now you know the craft of writing. You know what makes a good story. You understand language. And now you're just doing it. That's what this card is all about, practicing your craft, making that money. I mean, even if it's not about making money in that sort of capitalist way, it's about doing your work, doing the work. So I think of Nia Dennis, the gymnast, when I think about this card. Do you remember her routine, the Black Excellence routine? The one where she danced to Beyonce and Tupac and Snoop Dogg and integrated all this Black vernacular dancing into her gymnastics routine. It was so great. It was so fresh and vital and full of life and spirit, just completely brilliant. And I mean, think of all that clean pain Nia Dennis had to go through, and probably some not so clean pain since we know, you know, the shit that gymnasts have to deal with. But what I'm talking about is that sweat. You know, you want fame, you have to pay for it in sweat. And so much sweat must have gone into making that routine, into her whole career, and to being able to execute that beautiful Black Excellence routine to perfection like that. We're going to put a link to the video of her doing that in the show notes, so please watch it because it is so great. Anyway, I want to break down what's going on in that routine a little bit because I feel like it's so helpful for understanding the essence of this card and being able to talk about it in your readings when they come up for other people or even for yourself. So there's three characteristics I want to discuss, which to me get at the essence of the Eight of Pentacles: technique, flow, and innovation. So I'm going to break those down, but then within that, I'm going to nest egg another little list of eight qualities when we talk about flow. So get ready to go deep and just, you know, climb on down that ladder with me. So, okay, first of all, there's technique. Nia Dennis had to train her muscles. She had to practice again and again and again. She had to overcome self-doubt. She had to be able to focus on the task at hand, to be able to get to the place where she didn't have to think about her technique at all, and she could just dance it. She could just do the routine. So when this card comes up in a reading, think about whatever it is that you are creating in your life, and it could be anything, and know that you are being called to return to your technique, to return to your craft. Writers have a craft. Podcasters have a craft. Gymnasts have a craft. Priestesses have a craft. Parents have a craft. Bakers have a craft. We all have it. So you have it. Whatever it is that you're doing, what is the technique that you're learning to master? I feel like I've said this on the show before, but some of my dance teachers used to say, a thousand falls makes a dancer. So get busy with those falls. I mean, actually, if this card comes up in a reading, you've probably had the falls already. You've probably fallen 5,000 times, and now you can spin those pirouettes like nobody's business. Okay, so next thing, flow. This one is so fun to talk about. So Dennis's routine was playful and it was fun. And you could tell she was enjoying it because she's so good at it. And in thinking about her in this flow state, I also thought about this clip that I just saw of Freddie Mercury the other day on Instagram. I'm back from my Instagram hiatus, in case you were wondering. And in this clip, he was singing, and it was like his voice was like a spring that was bubbling up from inside of him. And he was just moving around through the song so virtuosically. He just had total command over his voice and was like exploring it at the same time. So it was doing what he wanted it to do. And it was like he was finding new rooms in his voice. He was like walking through a mansion. And you could feel his pleasure in singing. And you could see his voice moving through his body from deep in his belly, like this magical snake he was calling forth with a flute. And it was moving through his chest and against his big, beautiful teeth. And he was in a flow state. So flow state, according to the psychologist and creative researcher Mahali Csikszentmihalyi in his book Flow, which I recommend you get if you're interested in creativity or science or making things. The flow state is characterized by eight qualities. That eight again, folks. Eight is important here. Okay, first of these qualities. Now remember, I'm telling you all of this because it's relevant when, you know, it comes up in your readings. These are things that you're going to want to be thinking about. These are things that you're going to want to cultivate. These are things that you're going to want to tell your querent who's getting a reading from you all about. So first of all, complete concentration on the task. Nia Dennis was totally present for her routine. She wasn't thinking about checking her Instagram or that email she has to send, or being like, I wonder what I'm going to have for dinner. She was totally present right there. So that concentration, that ability to be fully present, is what this card is speaking to. Secondly, clarity of goals. Nia Dennis is going to execute a triple backflip handspring. She's not confused about that, right? We have to get clear about whatever it is that we're doing within our work so that we can explore it, so that we can, you know, polish it, do it. She's not confused about what is supposed to happen in this routine. Now, I know that in the Seven of Pentacles, we talked about Jack Halberstam in his book, The Queer Art of Failure, and how not knowing, not having an agenda, not kind of setting our goalposts ahead of time is part of the beauty of failure, because then it allows us to explore things that maybe we hadn't been able to see were possible before. Right? As soon as we set an agenda, we are limited to that. But I feel like in this card, it's not really about that queer art of failure and the pleasure of doing it wrong or differently or going counter to the grain or sticking your finger up to the status quo and finding the beauty and power in that. Instead, this card is qualitatively different because it's about mastery of your technique. And it's kind of true, I think, that we really can't do that unless we know what that technique is or we know what we're trying to accomplish. So voila. Anyway, transformation of time is another quality of this flow state that we're talking about in the Eight of Pentacles. Have you ever experienced this? When you're doing something you really love and time seems to fall away, you know, like if you're playing music or you're having sex with that super hot person you love to have sex with, or, you know, you're in the forest and, you know, wading through the beautiful, clear waters of the creek. And it's not like you're tapping your foot waiting for the train. You know what I'm saying? You could be doing this thing for hours and not notice the time going by. And that's because you're literally activating a part of your brain in this flow state that doesn't experience time. You're entering into a different part of your, I guess, neocortex. I don't know, you'd have to read the book. I can't remember that part, but you're entering the now when you experience this flow state. And of course, that's the most delicious state to experience. It really is. Like being in that place where you're just doing the thing, it's so fun. But in order to get there, we have to be able to concentrate. We have to be clear about what we're doing. The experience is also intrinsically rewarding. That's another quality of this flow state. And I have recently been experiencing this as I've been learning to sing and play guitar. I just love to sing with my friends so much. And I'm always trying to get them to sing songs with me. And even though I have no intention of being a rock star, well, actually, that's not true. When I'm 60, I'm determined to have a band. So look out, world. But I just love to do it. It's so fun to like look into your friends' eyes and sing with them. I'm not doing it to get anything. I'm doing it because doing it is reward enough. Just doing it is the point. And that's part of what this card is about too. Just doing it. Just being fully present in it. Whatever it is your work is to do. Not so that you can get something later on. That's the reward of this card, the Eight of Pentacles. Another quality of flow, effortlessness and ease. Remember, Freddie Mercury belting it out, he wasn't struggling. He wasn't feeling a sense of shame that he wasn't, you know, doing it right. He was right in the zone. And that's what the Eight of Pentacles is all about, friends. But we had to go through that pain entering the apprentice, right? He had to practice. There were probably times when he couldn't hit that note. And he had to practice it and practice it and practice it until his body just knew what to do. And he could just be there with it. Another quality of flow, that there is a balance between challenge and skills. Okay, so here's the thing. It's not just that whatever you're doing is easy. We don't just want it to be like a piece of cake for you. To be in the Eight of Pentacles zone, whatever you're doing also needs to be challenging in a just right Goldilocks kind of way. Nia Dennis wasn't doing a basic gymnastics routine, right? She wasn't somersaulting across the floor. If she was, she wouldn't have been enjoying it as much. In order for her to be in a flow state, what she's doing has to be just a little bit more difficult than she knows for a fact that she can do, which for her is like pretty advanced, right? I mean, it's like as advanced as you can get. She has to be a little bit uncertain that she might not be able to do that triple flip. That's what makes it fun for her, to see if she can do it. So to get in this flow state that the Eight of Pentacles is inviting, you have to be doing something that you feel good at and confident in, but which is also challenging enough to require your complete concentration. Is there anything like that in your life right now? All right, Next quality, body and mind are merged. This means we are not self-conscious in this Eight of Pentacles state. We're focused on what we're doing, not who we are while we're doing it. This is very important. Remember how we talked about failure last week with the Seven of Pentacles, as I was just discussing? One of the most painful things about failing, unless we've listened to that episode and now know that it's not such a problem, is that we get self-conscious. We experience shame. It's not just that the bread that we baked was hard and tasteless. It's that we internalized that feeling of failure and shame and started thinking things like, I'm a horrible baker. Nothing I ever do turns out right. Like, nobody's going to eat my food. But in the Eight of Pentacles, we've baked that bread so many times. We know how to add more oil. We know how to flash bake it. You know, when you raise the temperature of the oven to like 500 degrees. And then when you put it in, you turn it down to 350 degrees and it gets the bread like really lovely golden brown on the outside. Pro tip. Anyway, we've moved through our failures to get to that place where we are more interested in the task at hand than narrating to ourselves our value and worth while we were doing the task. Listen to that again, because that's the real pleasure of this card. Becoming so adept, so interested in our practice that we're not thinking about ourselves, our little ego, and like telling ourselves like, oh, that was good. Oh, that could have been better. Oh, what about this? We're not thinking about that while we're doing it. Instead, we're engaging with the materials themselves. It's all physical, in other words. It's all about the body. It's all about how we're engaging with the world around us. Even if we're involved in intellectual pursuits, we do those pursuits through the body. So this card is like, attend to your body in this work. Finally, in our middle list of flow qualities, there's a feeling of control over the task. So Nia Dennis wasn't being dominated by her routine. Freddie Mercury wasn't getting trampled beneath the bucking bronco of his song. They were writing their work. Not in a dominating way. More like how Bastien rides the luck dragon in the never-ending story. When the Eight of Pentacles comes up in your reading, it's time to ride the luck dragon, friends. The luck dragon is your work. Ride it. Tally-ho. Make that little luck dragon drive all around. Work together with it. I can hear him laughing now, like taking us away to all the beautiful places. Okay, so we're going to bump up back to the final quality in the first three that I mentioned, which is innovation. Sorry if that's confusing, but just, you know, go with it. Ride the luck dragon with me, friends. Anyway, innovation. This is an important last piece for the Eight of Pentacles qualities. When the Eight of Pentacles comes up, you're being called to know your craft so well, to be so confident in it that you can innovate. You're not checking to see what other people are doing in order to innovate, right? This is something that, like, I think we're all very familiar with when we're developing our work and developing our practice, whether as artists or, you know, Instagram influencers or, you know, whatever job you have out there or whatever you feel like your work is. Like, often when we're not that confident in our work, we're looking at what everybody else is doing and thinking, oh, maybe I should do it that way. Or maybe they're doing it better than I am and I should try it the way this other person is doing it. But with the Eight of Pentacles, you're being reminded to pay attention to the materials that you're working with, your own material, whatever it is. If you're an influencer, it's like your Instagram feed, not everybody else's. And listening to what wants to emerge from you, from your own work, whether that's in your practice as a witch or a musician or a podcast or whatever, your real work and practice, like, you will know that you have hit this Eight of Pentacles moment in your work, this mastery, when you're able to innovate according to what wants to be done in your own practice. Not what is imposed by the outside, like not what the funding body says that they want from you, or what it looks like some competitor of yours is doing. For Nia Dennis, she wanted to see herself reflected in gymnastics through her own practice of it. She wanted to see all the swagger of Black culture reflected in her field. That came from within her. So she made it happen. The idea for what happens next comes from within the work. It emerges, that angel emerges from within the stone of the work. We're not imposing it from something that's outside the sphere of our work. Am I making sense? We're not trying to impress anyone. We're so engaged with what we're doing that it just emerges as like a dialogue from our relationship to the materials itself. Anyway, it won't surprise you to learn that this card corresponds to the sun in Virgo, just like we're in now. In fact, today is the new moon in Virgo, so happy new moon, everybody. Actually, today when I'm recording this is the new moon, but, you know, new moon periods last from the new moon to the next new moon, so we're kind of in the Virgo moon period of our lives. Anyway, Virgo rules the sixth house. So the sixth house is body, physical health, routines, service, commitments. This card is about all of those things. And the Eight of Pentacles is all about materials in the body, as I've been saying. In the Eight of Pentacles, we're called to use our tools, Virgo style, to organize, to prepare, to tend to bring things together, to remove whatever is unnecessary, and then to harvest. You know, Virgo is the harvest queen, right? Virgo is the tender of the sacred, the keeper of the sacred flame. And she brings in also the bundles of wheat. So that's what we're doing. We're bringing in the bundles of the wheat when the Eight of Pentacles comes up. So if you get this in a reading, you know that whatever you're doing, you are being called to do it Virgo style. Side note, Beyonce is a Virgo, something that Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs, a Virgo, is always reminding me of. So just saying. And anyway, shout out to all my Virgos out there. CPR, looking at you. I know so many great Virgos. Virgos and Scorpios are like ride or die besties. And I'm not sure what it is that Virgos love about Scorpios so much, but I know that I love Virgos because they're funny. But I also think that Scorpios appreciate Virgo's seriousness and their dedication to the craft. Even though they're funny, they are also like very dedicated. Also, Virgos really know how to love. They show you that they're thinking of you. And I love how attentive they are to the details of loving and everything else that they do. So sending love to all of you Virgos out there in your birthday month. Thanks for tuning in. And I also want to say thank you so much to all of you listeners out there. It is such a pleasure to be with you. We're coming in the closing stretch of the season, and I just wanted to thank you, and I especially wanted to thank all of our subscribers because you really keep our podcast going. We have so much fun meeting with you. You are always telling us the most brilliant things, and we just love to participate with you, and we can't wait to see you for the Ace of Pentacles workshop coming up. So thank you. Thank you for being with us. We love you so much, Virgo style.
Now.
Listeners, now is the time when I introduce you to our special guest, and I am truly so excited to do it because we are speaking to the illustrious Alejandra Luisa León, whom I just love and is so fun to talk to and is so brilliant and talented. And I know that you're going to love her too. Let me tell you a little bit about her. So Alejandra's an artist as well as a tarot and astrology enthusiast. And she began collaging as a way to process grief. And from that grief, she created the Lioness Oracle Tarot, which is so beautiful and inspiring. I hope you check it out. Since then, she has hand collaged and published two other decks, The Stars Divine, which is an astrology deck, and Vision of the Muse, an oracle deck. So on top of running her online business, she also gives readings. I really encourage you to get one. And she teaches, and she lives in Oakland, California. So let's go meet her, shall we? So, Alejandra, I am so excited to have you here on the show. I am such a huge fan. I love your work. I love your mind. I love your vision for the world. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be on the podcast.
So you have made over three tarot decks or oracle decks, is that?
Three. Yeah, I've made three decks.
Well, so can you tell us about how you got into that process and practice and like how your artistic process is around them?
Well, tarot was an obsession of mine all throughout my 20s. So that was happening. I was giving a lot of readings for free in my 20s most of the time. It was just like reading everyone I knew. Then it turned into a part-time biz thing. Then it turned into more than that. And I was always doing my artistic practice too, doing lots of different things. And my father died, and I just dove into collaging after that. It was so therapeutic for me. And through doing that, I realized, oh, hey, let's merge. Let's merge with the tarot obsession. Let's make a tarot deck. And that's how that started. And, 78 cards, that took me quite a bit of time to complete. Overall, the whole project for the Lioness Oracle Tarot took me like 2.5 years or something like that. And after that, it just kept coming. I was like, I'm going to make an oracle deck. And then astrology was like natural. I was like, let's do astrology. Let's make an astrology deck. And that was super fun. And deciding everything I was going to include and doing that. And that one took like a couple of years too. And so that's how, it just evolved. It just kind of kept coming after the first one. The creative process continued to be very similar to when I was using it for grief. Lighting a candle, burning some incense, drinking tea, and just putting my image collection out and flipping through old magazines and just letting it happen, letting it flow. A lot of the time, it kind of seems like my work kind of flows through me in a way. It seems like a channel. It just happens, and it's very peaceful for me. Mm. Of course, towards the end of any project, when I know that there's, especially with the astrology deck and the tarot deck, when I know, okay, I only have like these five cards left or these few, then it becomes a little more focused. Like, I know I need to make one of these today, so it starts becoming like a little more left brain at that point. But it remains to be kind of a therapeutic for me through most of it until the last push.
Well, it sounds like you're really in your practice with it, which is so applicable to the Eight of Pentacles,
yeah,
the card that we're talking about today. I'm looking at the Eight of Pentacles in your deck, the Lioness Oracle deck, and there we see, it looks like different kinds of flowers and coins, mm-hmm, and gems, mm-hmm, Mm-hmm. And it looks also like there is a deity of some kind at the center, and we're in outer space. Could you tell us a little bit about what you were thinking about when you created this version of the Eight of Pentacles?
Yeah. Again, the thinking process isn't engaged too much, but it's like I was clumping these earthly elements together, you know, the cameo, the gems, the coins. Roses were going into everything at that point. The Buddha figure, I felt called to put that in there. And after, when I, you know, I kind of zoom out and I look at the image, I realize I'm like, this is the Eight of Pentacles, because there's a strength in the in that kind of clumping of all of these earthly matter. And then the Buddha for me was this symbol of, there's this peace in it, there's this lose yourself in it, you have it, you're doing it, there's a mindfulness in it, you know, and that Eight of Pentacles where you're just showing up and it's hard work, but it's, you're just there and there's a peace in it.
So it's just like you're just rolling along, just rolling in it, doing it, like, yeah, riding the wave. Yeah, I could see that with the Buddha there. Well, so when the Eight of Pentacles comes up in a reading, what do you usually tell your clients?
That it's a card that represents work. It's a card that represents dedication, showing up. You know, so when clients get this card, I find that they're already being recognized for their work somehow. They have their work. They have their job. And there's the success building around it. There's opportunity and responsibility being handed to them that they can show up for. And they're usually pretty happy about it. And there's some success in that. There's a feeling of strength, which the idea of strength is related to card 8, strength, if you go with the number 8 for strength. And there's a strength in the earth, a strength in that solidity, that structure. So clients get this and I'm like, you know, it'll come up a lot when they're asking about work. And I'm like, you have it. It's coming. It's, you know, if it's a future card, I'm like, it's going to be there. You're going to get hired. You're going to have the work. You're going to be busy. You're going to be doing it. And, you know, if it's related to something else, then there's some hard work or some dedication that needs to be done for them for whatever area that it's applied to.
Yeah, that's really interesting, that relationship to the strength card in the Major Arcana, the number 8, because I often think of the strength card as like, well, you asked for it and you got it.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is it. You asked to sell the book and then you sold it. Now you have to write it. Or like,
mm-hmm,
you know, you always wanted to be a filmmaker and now you got the money to make it and now you have to make it.
Exactly.
And so it's like there is a kind of a challenge to come into your power and your authority and your vision and just really do it. And, you know, it's not easy, but there's a feeling of rightness. Like, even though it's challenging, you're in the right place doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Exactly. Exactly. It reminds me of the Nine of Wands, too, you know, when you got all those responsibilities and all those things that you wanted to do, but now you're doing them and it takes energy, it takes work, you know, and you got to do it now. Exactly.
Well, so I usually think of the Eight of Pentacles as about attaining mastery of your craft. And it sounds like you really have a craft in terms of the creation of your decks. Like, what does mastery mean to you? Or how would you suggest that people would go about attaining mastery? I mean, it's one thing to want to, it's another thing to do it.
Yeah. It's doing something over and over, I think. It's learning while you're doing it. It's learning from your mistakes. It's learning through the process of doing it. It's that classic saying of practice makes perfect. You know, it's like you're showing up for the same tasks over and over and over again. You're doing them, and sometimes it's flowing, sometimes it feels hard, sometimes you're bored, sometimes there's lulls, you know, but you're doing it and you keep doing it. And I think the more you keep on the same path and you're focused on the same thing and you don't drop it or you don't give up, you start to master it like any practice. Like if you were practicing reading the tarot, it takes so much time of just like pulling those cards over and over again, reading books. Sometimes you feel like you're on top of it. Sometimes you feel confused. You're learning from mistakes and it's just, you know, over and over and over again. And I think any skill takes that practice.
Yes. You know, there's this place that often you get to when you are writing or maybe doing any creative project, but since my practice is writing, like you often just feel like it's not good. It's never going to be good. And like you should just throw it away.
Yep.
And if you're just beginning, then you might not realize that that's a part of the process. So you might get to that place and then just abandon it because you think, well, I'm obviously not good at this or this isn't right. But once you've done something enough times, then you start to realize like, here's the part where I get bored. Oh, here's the part where I feel like nothing is right.
Yes.
Or, you know, if you're a designer, it might be that you've worked with a certain font so many times that you know, like, oh, it always has this spacing problem whenever I use these two letters together, and that it's not necessarily your fault that you're encountering a problem, but that it's part of the practice, it's part of the work. Like that there are certain issues that might come up, but because you're so practiced and you're so skilled and you've done it so many times, then you know what to do. You know how to weather the challenge.
Exactly. I completely agree. And I can relate, like the first time around making the tarot deck, my ego was just screaming at me like, you're stupid. This is dumb. This sucks. Everyone's going to hate it. You know, all the classic things like, what am I doing? Like, what the hell? Who do I think I am? You know, all that stuff. And I just kept doing it. And now every time I make a project, that happens. My ego does that. And now I'm just kind of like, ah, shut up. You know, like you've said this before. And I'm just going to, you know, keep going. Or same thing around production. I usually have a lull between finishing my artwork and starting to do production. And the first time around, it was like, oh, wow, you know, when am I going to get this done? And then round two, it was like that too. And even round three, it was like, you're procrastinating. But then I just realized, no, you just need a break in between. And then one day you wake up and you're ready. So it is, it's that learning, like what your process is like, what your cycles are like, what your flow is like, all that.
Yeah. And just being able to show up and weather your way through that. Absolutely. I mean, I was thinking about The Artist's Way, Julia Cameron.
I did it. I love it.
Yeah, it's so helpful. I've done it a few times. And in it, she talks about how it's like, it's not really your business if it's good. You know, you're just supposed to show up and do it. And, you know, it's just the work that's there for you to do. And I think that that's really true with the Eight of Pentacles, that it's like, do the work in front of you and do it to the best of your ability using the skills that you have available to you. And, you know, if it's hard, it's hard. If it's easy, it's easy. If you come into an obstacle, you come into an obstacle, but you're just doing the thing. You're just doing the work.
Yeah.
The Buddha in your card really makes sense to me.
You read my mind. That's crazy. I was going to bring that up.
Chop wood, carry water, right? Like, it's just like, do the thing. It doesn't matter if it's hard.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's good. It doesn't matter if it's exalted or fancy. It's just like, this is the work that's here for you to do, so do it.
It's the process. It's the process. It's like accepting what it is that day, accepting where you're at in that moment, you know, and if you're an artist, you know, you have, you know, the well goes dry and sometimes it's full. So, you know, I've had to come to that acceptance like, okay, it's dry and it's dry for like 3 or 4 months. Okay, that happened. And now it's bubbling again. And it's that acceptance, you know, or today I'm frustrated, today I feel great about it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then you get to the point where when you see that the well is dry, you know what you have to do. Like if the well is dry, it needs to be replenished, which means You need to read. You need to look at art. You need to go to museums. You need to have good conversations. You need to travel. You need to refill the well, as Julia Cameron would say.
Exactly. Exactly. And for me too, sometimes I just need to rest, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I just need to rest. And there's a lot of guilt around that in our society, you know, could it do all the time. And if not, you're like this fuck up or something, you know? So there are times then too where I'm like, I just need to watch a movie right now.
Exactly. Carol and I were just saying today, she has an art coach, our friend Beth Pickens, who wrote Your Art Can Save Your Life. And Beth, who is like a coach for artists, says that you have to have one day off a week, even if you say you can't afford it, that you can't do it, that you want to keep creating that day. But she said, you know, you have to have that day of rest, because that's truly when your good ideas will come. And that's what makes it possible for you to do the quality work that you want to do at other times. And I noticed for myself when I, which is pretty much every week, when I'm just like, no, you have to work through, you have to do at least a little bit today. And I notice if I don't take a day off, that my work, the quality of my work really suffers.
Yeah, because it's coming from maybe a burned out flame, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Okay, well, so let's pair this baby up with some other cards and see what happens. All right, so Eight of Pentacles comes up with Two of Cups. What then? What do we say?
So I've totally had it happen before, and sometimes it's, you know, there's hard work that needs to be done. If it's in regard to a relationship, then maybe that relationship is requiring work that both parties need to show up, communicate, maybe go to counseling, whatever. You know, there's like some work that needs to be done, and both people need to show up. So that's actually a thing that's actually happened in a reading with the Two of Cups and the Eight of Pentacles. And some other things I think could happen would, you know, if it was self-love that you were in need of with the Two of Cups, you know, you and yourself, then you got to show up for that, like loving yourself and work around that. Cause you know, most of us don't, which is normal. And it's an area that needs work. So it could definitely mean that.
Absolutely. I think of, again, going back to that idea of like chop wood, carry water, the Buddhist idea in relation to relationships. When you're in a committed relationship or even a long-term friendship, sometimes the road is a rocky road. Sometimes it's raining. You know, sometimes there's a lot of wind. The quality of the road that you're on with that person or the work that is there to be done changes. Sometimes it's easy and fun and everything is going smoothly, and sometimes it's more challenging. But when you get the Eight of Pentacles, it's encouraging you to just keep doing it, keep doing the work. But also, I feel like that idea of skill is so important. Like, for instance, having relationships are skills. And a lot of us didn't learn the skills that we needed from our family of origin, right? Like, so for instance, like setting healthy boundaries or being able to listen or, you know, being able to, you know, do shadow work where you don't project your feelings onto other people or assumptions about people. Like, those are all skills that we can learn. We can learn to be better communicators. We can learn to set clearer boundaries. And so as you were saying, you know, maybe it is time to go to therapy, couples therapy, or maybe it's just time to look at what skills are necessary and put them into practice in your relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a showing up, because, you know, if either party is avoidant, you know, and it's like there's a temptation to like, let's just avoid everything. Let's not talk about it. Like, let's sweep it under the rug, or it's going to bring stuff up and we're going to fight or we're going to disagree. You know, it's really tempting to escape from that. And I think those two together, if it's about two people, it's like, well, you're just going to have to both show up for that actually right now.
Exactly. Okay, what about, let's throw in a curveball here. What about the Ten of Swords? If the Eight of Pentacles and the Ten of Swords comes in together.
Well, it could indicate some stress around the work that's being done at the moment. Maybe there's some mental concern, some worry, a lot of worrying, actually. So, yeah, you know, maybe you're staying up at night. You know, that's kind of a Nine of Swords thing, too. But it's reached its peak, right? You're, like, really stressed out about maybe the workload, about the tasks, the responsibilities. Also, maybe the environment is a stressful environment. If you're one who works in a workplace or with other people, maybe it's not all on you. Like, maybe there's, like, a lot of stress involved with everyone, with the environment. Maybe it's toxic. Maybe it doesn't feel good.
There's certainly a stabbed in the back kind of feeling to the Ten of Swords.
Right.
I also think about how the Eight of Pentacles, or all the eights, implies a pattern, right? Like a kind of flight pattern, you know, when the airplane is, like, circling over the airport and doesn't quite land, you know, you're just sort of caught in a rut and you're just doing the same thing over and over. Now, as we said, that can be a positive thing, right? Where you're just in your work and you're doing it. But I think when the Eight of Pentacles appears with the Ten of Swords, it could be suggesting that you are in a rut and it's time to walk away, that, you know, there's nothing more here for you, even though you know how to do it really well. And even though, you know, it seems easy, that the juice has gone out, and that in order to reinvigorate your practice, whatever it is, some new life needs to be brought in, or some new destination needs to be ventured to.
Definitely. I mean, that's that Ten of Swords. Like, it's reached its peak. It's going to pop. It's dead. It's going to turn into something else. It's being sacrificed into a different element. It's reached the end, basically.
Yeah. And, like, how long do you want to hang on to this? Or are you ready to just, you know, walk away? Are you ready to call it and open yourself up to the final card that we have for a comparison here, the World card, Major Arcana 21. What happens if we get those two together?
I mean, that would be amazing. I mean, I feel like if you get the Eight of Pentacles and the World, you've done it. You've reached the point. You've completed it. You need to celebrate it now. Like, you're like, I did it. You know, that's that moment where you got the raise you were trying to get, or you completed the project you were working on. You know, as a writer, you published that book. It's out now, you know. Yeah, it's that freedom moment where you're like, I did it, and I feel so good now. And all that hard work, you know, it's like accomplishment and success doesn't really mean anything if it was easy or if it took, like, 2 days, you know. It won't feel as... But if you worked on that for a year and there were all those highs and lows, you get to that point and you feel so good about it.
It's such a great feeling. It's such a great feeling to know you worked hard on something and that you feel like, no matter what happens to this thing, like, I know that I gave this everything I had.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's that evolution, you know, of the World. It's like you learned a lot from it. You know, all those moments where you were tested or you faced adversity or all those conflicts, you know, those moments that got really scary. It's like you really learned from that. You evolved. Your soul evolved too.
Yeah, totally. I so see that. And I also feel like it could be saying, you know, this is your work. This is your work in the world. You have found the work that you're here to do. There's something about whatever it is that you're doing that is really yours, that you have been put on this world to do something related to this, or you've found your practice. So if you've been questioning that, seeing those two cards together would suggest to me that you are on a path that is moving into your strength.
Yeah.
Okay. Now here's the fun part for me anyway. This has all been really fun, but so can you think of any pop cultural references that remind you of the Eight of Pentacles, like movies or songs or poems or artworks or anything like that?
Yes. Yes. This is actually really fun. So definitely She Works Hard for Money by Donna Summer.
That is my first one. That is my first one.
Yeah. Because it's so true, right?
Yes. I mean,
it's so True.
Oh my God. Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, mine, they're all songs. I mean, Supermodel, You Better Work by RuPaul too, because even if you're not a supermodel, that song, you're like, okay, you better work. Like, do it, strut. Like, it's like a confidence booster, and it's like a get out there and do it. Don't hide, just do it, you know.
Like a work it girl kind of thing.
Yeah. And then 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton.
Oh my God. I love that song. I love Dolly Parton. I love everything about that. It's so true. Oh my God. Just that riff at the beginning. Doom, 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 doom.
Yeah,
doom, doom.
Exactly.
It just feels like the eight of Pentacles.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. And all three of those songs, like, you know, you could put it on and it'll just like get you revved up.
Yeah.
To, like, do it.
We need to put that on a playlist somewhere.
And then maybe Money by Cardi B too.
Okay. Yeah. I see that too.
Yeah.
Ka-ching.
Yeah.
Let's reel that in. Yeah. So for me, I obviously had Donna Summer as well. And then I kind of phoned in the next one, which is Becoming a Jedi Master. It just seems like, you know, like there's a level of mastery involved.
Definitely. And I mean, you think about Luke in the second movie, you know, it's really hit a lull. He's like at rock bottom. It seems like things aren't going to work out. Like Yoda's like kind of fucking with him, you know, but that's how he becomes a master.
Yeah, like when he's getting the Millennium Falcon out of that pond and he's like, I can't do it, and he like drops it, and then Yoda like rolls his eye and he's like, see, this guy always loses his patience.
And
always wants adventure, and I can't work with this kid. And then, you know, we all know what happens. Obi-Wan comes. I guess I'm showing my age here, but I love that scene. It's so great. And then Luke like gets his shit together and he's like, okay, I'm going to do this. I am a Jedi and I'm going to do this. And then out pops the Millennium Falcon. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
So then my final one, more of an art house reference here, is do you live in LA?
Oakland.
Okay. So I don't know if you would have seen this show. There was a show at MoCA, Museum of Contemporary Art here, several years ago, by this artist, this painter, Carrie James Marshall. And the show was called Mastery, M-A-S-T-R-Y. So Carrie James Marshall is this amazing, amazing painter. And he's Black, so the title of the show is like a double entendre, because obviously it's picking up on some racialized history of the United States with slavery and everything. But then the show itself is, you know, these huge canvases of essentially figurative painting. And he's taking like European classical painting and just kind of shredding through it. And what's so brilliant about this show is it's very masterful. Like, he's referring also to the European quote unquote masters. And he's kind of mastering them because he's doing all the things that he probably was trained to do in his like art historical, you know, training as an art student, but then like destabilizing it. And he does a turn, like a détournement. And it's so exciting to me. Being in that show was so exciting because the level of mastery that he has over his craft and the way that he was speaking on all these different levels and subtexts through history and art history and his own craft of painting. And like, it just blew my mind. If anybody ever gets a chance to see that show, please go see it. And I will put a link to it in the show notes. Yeah, because it was really good. Well, so do you have any rituals or spells or activities that you would like to share with folks to help them if they get the Eight of Pentacles?
Oh, yeah, I love that. I love candle spells. And I'd say if you were looking for the money that comes with the Eight of Pentacles, then get a green candle, some cinnamon sticks, pyrite, green stones, gold if confidence is needed, and citrine. And red or orange if you need the motivation to show up over and over, and some carnelian for that.
So would you just suggest that people arrange the stones around the candle, dress the candle?
Yeah, I'm, you know, for the modern people, you know, on the go, I'd say you take your, the way I like to do it is like, I put the card on my altar. My altar already kind of has a thing going, you know, but then I, you know, put the candle there. I put the stone in front of it. You want to call the corners. If that's your thing, do that first. If not, you know, it doesn't matter. Just light your candle, make your intention, keep it lit. I feel like spells are this creative act. And it's like you're putting all this intention in it, like with the stones, with the candle, you know, with decorating your altar, with saying your prayer, saying your incantation. You know, it's this intentional creative act that kind of helps you. It merges with you and you start propelling together, you know. So it's like this very potent intention thing that really does move stuff.
Yes, it really does. I find candle spells really effective. They really shift things for me. I just did a candle spell recently to get over something that had been bothering me for a really long time, like had been bothering me for years.
Yeah.
And finally, I did a spell. I don't know why it took me so long, but I did. And then it just stopped bothering me. It was amazing. I highly recommend. But so with the candle spell, this is a fun question. Days of the week to do it. Do we want to do it on Jupiter Day? Do we want to do it on Mars Day? Do we want to do it on Mercury Day? Which one do you feel like is the most Eight of Pentacles?
Okay, so it depends. I love that question. Jupiter, if you're looking for the opportunity to come for you, like you need some luck, you know, you need the universe to hand you something, you know, do it on Jupiter Day. You know, you need it to come to you. If you need mental clarity, Mercury. All the way. Or if you're needing to have a conversation with someone or like there's a meeting that's important, you know, maybe Mercury. Or you need to write something, you know. Mars, if you need the motivation. Because I think that one is so important because that's the Eight of Pentacles so much is that you have to keep doing it. And you have to keep doing it when you're tired and when you don't want to or when you're doubting it. And so the motivation is a big part of it. So I think Mars can really help you with that.
Yeah. And then too, like, would you risk Saturn? Because Saturn could be the discipline.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I have a deep relationship with Saturn now because Saturn has been following me around ever since my Saturn return. And it's been involved in every deck I've made. It kicks my ass basically. Like, it's like, do it, bitch. Like,
that's his job.
You know, and I'm like, God, you're being so mean. But at the same time, it gets me to discipline.
Yeah.
But I would say Saturn, if you're not scared of Saturn or if like you're right, because if there's fear around it, I mean, you know, that can mess with things. Do it with Saturn, but like be ready, I think, because Saturn disciplines you. You know, it's the disciplined daddy.
Yeah, maybe start off with a Mars to get you like motivated and like fearless and brave and courageous and then like come in with the discipline. Although then you would be working with the two malefics and it's like, hold on to your horses. Yeah. Let's see what happens, witches. I know you're all brave out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is great. I'm going to go try this right now as soon as we get off the phone. Alejandra, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. It has been a true pleasure and so much fun to have you on the show.
Thank you. I had a great time. I loved it.
How shall our listeners find you?
Website is thelionessoracle.com. Instagram is thelionessoracle.
Follow this person.
Yeah, you can Google that. That's the best way.
If they were going to get a deck of yours, which one would you suggest they start with?
Well, tarot's a good thing. I mean, I feel like tarot is such a foundation for decks. I find that people usually start with that one, unless there are some special people out there who astrology is more their thing, you know? And if that's more your thing, then the Stars Divine is going to be for you. And the Oracle deck, Vision of the Muse, when people pick that first, I think it's usually like they're already into Oracle decks more than tarot decks. Like I think like Oracle is definitely the vibe. So they start with that one. So it kind of depends on where you feel like you're at. But I would say use your intuition.
I love that. That's what we're all about here in Between the Worlds, using our intuition. We were so excited to know that we'd have a little oracle party here with the Lioness Oracle of LA.
Love it.
All right. So thank you so much. And go off and get those decks, folks. And I will be seeing you on Instagram, Alejandra.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. If you liked the talk that Louisa and I had about candle magic, you might want to check out our Between the Worlds Candle Magic Workshop. We go deep into how to do those simple and beautiful spells, so effective and fun and good for any occasion. So please do check that out. It's on our website, betweentheworldspodcast.com. Or while you're there, you might as well also check out our Ace of Pentacles Money Magic Workshop. Live call for that one's happening very soon. And if you want to step into your abundance, that's the one for you. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being with us. Next week, we're going to have our delightful guest, Angela Mary Magic, on to talk about the Nine of Pentacles and becoming a grown-ass witch. Can't wait to see you there. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Subscribers to our Weird Circle at the Jupiter level get workshops, community, bonus content, and magical support throughout the year. We really do hope that you join us. In the meantime, if you love our content and want to keep us on the air, please do take a moment to give us 5 stars or leave us a sweet review on iTunes, or share your favorite moments from the podcast on social media. Truly, all of it makes a huge difference to us. You can tag me at Oracle Valet or at Between the Worlds Podcast. Not only does your support help keep us on the air, it helps baby witches who really need this content know how to find their way to us between the worlds. So thank you for being here, and thank you for helping other people find their way here as well. This podcast is hosted by Amanda Yates Garcia and produced by Carolyn Pennypacker Ricks. Our icon was created by Maria Minnis, aka Tiny Parsnip, and our graphic design is by Leah Hayes. Thanks for flying with us.